Well, this morning we're going to talk about being yielded. And really the question on the table is, are you ready? And if you have your Bible this morning, we're going to spend our whole time in Luke chapter 1. And it's not going to be up here. So hopefully you brought your Bible, right? Or your cell phone that has a Bible. So that's where we're going to focus. And the questions around are you ready is, are you ready for an encounter with God? Are you ready to encounter his presence? Are you ready to encounter his angelic host? I hear a lot of yeses. That's good. We're going to talk about one person in Scripture who really wasn't ready. They thought they might be ready. And we're going to talk about another person who probably shouldn't have been ready, but was ready. And it's all in Luke chapter 1. And so the first is, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? What are you longing for God to do? What are you contending for, either for yourself or for your loved ones or others? You know, sometimes we pray for something for years, right? This is something that God puts on our heart, or something like, so I think of two of my boys, they have medical issues, right? And so for 9 years, I've been praying for one of my sons, and for about 6 years, I've been praying for the other son. And it's this thing where we see minimal sort of improvement, that kind of stuff, but we haven't seen the great miraculous things happen yet in the lives of my children, right? Yeah, yet, right? And so the other is like, there's people in this room that I've been contending for. Maybe it's a physical thing that's going on for you, or maybe it's emotional stuff in terms of relational issues, things like that. Or maybe it's a financial breakthrough. And we can go for year after year after year, and we're contending for these things, and we're longing for God to come through and to break through in the way that we're expecting him, because he's good and he's faithful. But sometimes so much time passes that we sort of assume that it's probably not going to come to pass. And I think that some people could say that that's like lack of faith, but I don't think necessarily, right? So sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray, and you're seeing that it's not happening. And so you get to a point where you sort of feel like, well, I guess it's just not going to happen, or it may not happen. And you sort of live with that. You keep moving. You keep living. Maybe you keep praying, right? Because you're hopeful. And at the same time, you sort of let it sit because it just hasn't happened. And the first person in Luke chapter 1 that we're going to look at is Zechariah. And he's sort of in that camp, because he had been praying for something for years, and it just didn't happen. It hadn't happened yet. But let's look at verses 5 to 25. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Right? So you guys get the picture, right? So he's a priest. He has a certain role. If every so often they drew the lot, one of the priests got to go into the temple area where it was sort of sacred, and they burned incense. And everybody else was on the outside, and they're praying and they're worshiping and they're glorifying God. And they're waiting for the priest to come back out. And so that's Zechariah. And it says that then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. So while he's in this place inside the temple, the angel of the Lord appears to him, standing at his right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." He had prayed for this, right? You guys get it? Then the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when the time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So Zechariah had prayed for a child. Anybody here ever prayed that they could get pregnant to have a child? Right? My wife and I, we prayed 5 years. We felt like the doctor said my wife could never have a baby. Right? And then she conceived and we had Josiah. And then it was easy after that to have three more. Right? You know what I mean? So, but I know the experience. I don't know how old Zechariah was. It was easy for me. I don't know how old Zechariah was. But it sounds like he had prayed this prayer for quite a while. And if you know what it's like to be in that process, it's grueling. When you're longing for something, it doesn't have to just be a baby, but you're longing for God to come through in a way that you believe he will. He should, right? It's something that we're contending for. And Zechariah had contended for this thing. But he, you know, it's not happening. And so he continues just live his life, right? So he still does his job. He's a priest in the temple and he does his duties and he goes when he's supposed to go. He cares for his wife. He cares for his family, that kind of thing, right? The people around him. And he grows old. Life happens and he keeps moving on. And one day when he least expected it, everything changed. When he went into that temple that day, he wasn't expecting to have this encounter. It was beyond his wildest imagination what happens when he goes into the temple, right? Hence his response. He enters the temple and Gabriel, the angel, shows up and Zechariah sort of freaks out, right? I've never been in the presence of Gabriel. Has anybody here? No. Okay. But I haven't, right? So I don't know what that's like, but everybody who I read in the Testament of the scriptures who has an encounter with Gabriel seems a little bit scared. It seems consistent, right? So there's something about the ominous presence of this angelic host. And many of you said at the beginning that you were ready for that, right? When I said, are you ready for an encounter with the angelic host? Some of you said yes, right? So maybe you are, but Zechariah, I don't think he was ready because he freaks out. And Gabriel tells Zechariah, don't be afraid. Isn't that interesting? Because Gabriel always says that. Don't be afraid, right? Your prayer has been heard. And what do you think was going on in Zechariah's mind? Which prayer? He's a priest, right? He probably has prayed many, many prayers. Which prayer are you talking about, Gabriel? Right? And Gabriel, says ultimately that his prayer for a child is the prayer that's being answered. Zechariah had felt like his prayer for a child had expired, right? When he looked at his wife and he looked at himself, that the possibility of this prayer coming to pass was done. It was too late, right? God had missed. If he was going to do it, he should have already done it. Even though he has an example in the Old Testament with Abraham, right? And Sarah, right? About how old you can be and still have a child, right? Again, we don't know how old Zechariah was. But in his mind and in his heart, there was a sense of, it's probably too late for that prayer to come to pass. But the angel assures Zechariah that not only has his prayer been heard for a child, but that he was going to be the father of an amazing, powerful, significant son, and his name was going to be John. There was a destiny on Zechariah's son. that had a specific timing attached to it because he was meant to come before Jesus. Right? There was time, there was order, there was a place in history that this was supposed to happen. And God's never late. And so he shows up in a powerful way with Zechariah, but Zechariah, he wasn't ready. Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. It's not possible anymore." And yet Gabriel responds, "Don't you know who I am?" The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." That's where Gabriel resides, in the presence of God. "And I have been sent to speak to you." Right? Gabriel knows his identity. We talk a lot about these days of knowing our identity, who we are. If we truly knew who we were, we would operate differently often, right? There's a sense of Gabriel, there's no question. Jesus knew who he was, where he was going, right? It allows him to live the way that he lived while he walked here on the earth. And same for Gabriel. He knows who he is. There's not a doubt in his mind. He says, "I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." What's the consequence for not being ready for Zechariah? You're going to be silent. Notice how it's interesting that in the midst of him not being ready or questioning, it's not like the angel says, "Okay, well, you blew it. No baby for you." Right? Elizabeth still conceives and they have John. But in the midst of that process, the consequence was you're going to be silent. Why was that? I don't know. But there was something about it for Zechariah that he didn't get the privilege of releasing this good news and declaring this answered prayer about his encounter with the angel. He could just sort of mimic it and, you know, put hand signs, that kind of thing. Why? I don't know. I have no reason. But he wasn't ready for his prayer to be answered. And yet God's still faithful to answer his prayer. That's really good news for us today. The second angle that we're going to look at is, what aren't you praying for? And we're going to look at Mary. So same chapter, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy," so here's Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant, "God sent the angel Gabriel." He's a busy angel, right? In this time. Right, so Gabriel comes on the scene again, "to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.'" It says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So here we have this young girl, Mary. She's in her town, right? Just going about life. She's pledged to be married to Joseph. And that's probably pretty exciting, right? And she's thinking about what the future holds for her. And out of the blue, here comes Gabriel. Boom, shows up on the scene. Mary, too, is a little bit scared. Mostly about what he calls her, highly favored. Like the encounter was just, it was a little bit intimidating for Mary. It's not what she expected. And the interesting thing is that Mary wasn't praying for an encounter with God. that we know of. She wasn't praying for an encounter with Gabriel, right? It wasn't like, oh, you're finally here. I've been waiting, right? Gabriel just shows up. Could he show up right here? Yeah, he could if he wanted to. If he was sent, it was dispatched by the Lord, right? And he says to Mary, greetings, O highly favored one. Again, like Zechariah, she's a little bit afraid. And Gabriel assures her that she's okay. He says, don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He'll be great, be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, right? He will reign over Jacob's descendants. And Mary asks a question. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? Right? Remember, she wasn't praying to have a baby. This wasn't the longing of her heart. She was just thinking about, I'm going to get married. Maybe deep in her heart, she wanted to be a mom, right? You know, my wife wanted to be a mom before we got married, right? You see what I'm saying? But we don't know Mary's heart. But in the encounter, she basically is just asking for more information. And Gabriel says, it's simple. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you with the power of God and you'll conceive. Makes sense, right? Is that easy? You guys get that? Imagine being Mary, right? You'd be like, what? At least Zechariah knew what to do when he got home from work, right? Like he knew his part to partner with what God was saying to do. But Mary could be like, what are you talking about? He's going to overshadow me? Like, I don't understand. What you're describing is inconceivable. It had never been thought of before, right? That's the farthest thing from reality that you could have a child without a man involved. It's ludicrous. And yet Mary simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I'd be like, when? When's this happening? What's it going to be like? Right? And Mary just says, I'm all in. I'm in. I trust your goodness and your faithfulness. Right? There's something that you can tell about the character of Mary and who she is by her response. There's something we can tell about the character of Zechariah, right? About his response, right? Where his heart's at, Zechariah. Mary was ready. She was yielded to God. She was surprised about the encounter, but she responded in faith. Does that make sense? Like you can get surprised about an encounter that you have with God, but are you ready? If you're ready, your response will be just like Mary. And so we started this morning asking the question, are you ready? And many of us said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for an encounter. Would you like an encounter like this? That changes your whole life. You are living life. This is how you knew how to do life, right? And you have an encounter with God, and everything is going to be different after that point. Are you still ready? How much do you trust God's goodness and faithfulness? The reality for Mary is life as she knew it would never be the same. You know, it's not a simple question to ask, are you ready for that, right? It's not redundant or what's that phrase? I can't think of it. Rhetorical. It's not rhetorical. Like between you and the Lord today, do you want an encounter that will change your life forever? I think Mary was ready simply because she had already yielded herself to God. And so that's probably the bigger question today. Are you yielded? Is your life yours or is it his? Remember, he's not looking for robots. He's not looking for someone just a servant to say, you go here, you do this, you do that. That's not the kind of relationship God wants with us. Often I think that's the kind of relationship we want with God, right? Because we feel like, okay, I either get it right or I get it wrong. Like I either do it or I don't. And then I know I'm a good child. That's not how God operates with us. There's a lot of room for us to walk with him and to be with him. Jesus calls us friends, right? There's a sense of, are you yielded to him though? At the end of the day, as you go through life and you keep living and doing, you keep praying about different things and you wanting to see them happen, are you ready for today? It happens, and it happens in a way that changes your life forever, right? It's not an easy question. You know, and the scripture talks a lot about and suddenlies. And often we pray for and suddenlies, that a person's situation will change like that. That God will show up and my friend will get a new eye that we've been praying for years. Or you guys know we've been praying for Mark Stone, who's battling with ALS, that suddenly everything changes. I just heard a testimony, I read a testimony in a book by Heidi Baker where she had been, she had like a major staph infection, but it was pretty nasty. And she had been in the hospital like two times already, and it just wasn't getting better. And she was on antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. And the doctors basically were like, it's over. Like, there's no hope for you whatsoever. And so she was in the hospital the third time. And basically the same scenario happened where the doctor's like, we don't know what else to do for you. And she's in excruciating pain. She had everybody who she knows comes pray for her, all these healing evangelists, all these people, right, praying and contending and fasting and pouring out prayers for her. And in the midst of when she was there in the hospital room, over the time that she was there, I think it was about a month or so, she felt like she heard from the Lord to ask her husband to go get her some running shoes. And her husband, Roland's like, all right. So he goes, gets her running shoes, right? Why would somebody who's dying need running shoes? You only need running shoes if you believe you're not going to die, right? You're actually going to live. And Heidi had all these promises from God about what her life was going to be like or how many children she was going to reach. And at the time of this infection, that hadn't happened yet. She hadn't reached all of the children that she felt like she heard from the Lord saying, you will touch these lives of these children. And so she listened to the Lord and he said, get running shoes. And so she did. And then at some point she's in the hospital and basically the doctors have given up hope. And she felt like she had canceled a bunch of teaching engagements throughout different parts of the world. And one was in Canada. And she felt like for some reason she wasn't supposed to let that teaching engagement go. She was supposed to honor that, even as sick as she was. And or she kept it on the docket. It was open. And so when the time came for that engagement, she felt like, I need to be there. And the doctors and the staff around her are like, it's not possible for you to go. You will die in the process of going. And she's like, no, I need to go. And she just felt from the Lord that was the place she needed to be. And so she gets on a plane with Roland. They go to Canada. And when they get there, the host church that is welcoming her looks at her and is like mortified, like how bad she looked. She looked like death, right? And they're like, why are you here? They knew that she was sick. They didn't know how bad she was. And she says, no, I want to be here. I need to preach. And the staff was like, you really don't have to. Don't do it just for us. Like, you need to go to bed. And they got their doctor. They had a doctor, a part of their staff or whatever. And he said, I want to hook you up to an IV right now. And she said, don't hook me up to an IV. Just pray for me. So he did. Anyway, she gets there that night to preach. And she stands up on the stage. And she felt like she heard a word about out of one scripture in the Old Testament. She was supposed to release to that house. As soon as she opens her mouth to release it, she feels like she's getting electrocuted by the power of God. And in an instant, all of that infirmity left her completely. And it's never returned. She went out running the next day. Right? So all that to say is, I'm a man of faith. I believe that those kind of encounters can happen. We're contending for those kind of encounters, right? And yet the reality is sometimes we've been contending for something for so long, we're not ready for it to happen. Or when it happens, like, think about Zechariah's life after he had a baby. What was life like? I can't imagine my father. My father is going to be, he's 80? He's going to be 80. 80, right? Yeah, she's 80. Having a baby. Anybody here 80? Hank, you don't have a baby? What if the angel of the Lord showed up? Would you say yes? You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that God likes to play with our minds or likes to mess with us, but some of me thinks he does. I think he has a lot of fun. Like, what's going to be the response? And yet the reality is, are you yielded? Are you yielded to him? Whatever he would come and ask of you, are you yielded today? Or is your life yours? And he has a little say, right? Again, it's not a rhetorical question. It's not an easy question. Is your life open before the Lord? I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will minister to whoever you want me to minister to. Right? Or do you just give him a portion? When we say we're ready for an encounter, ultimately today he's asking, are you really ready? Do you really want all of him? And so this morning, are you ready for Jesus to answer your prayers that you've been praying? Are you ready for him to launch you in your destiny, even if you could never envision the timing or the method? Are you yielded to God? Right? Are you a yielded vessel? There's a couple of slides of pictures. This is by Catherine Coleman. It says, the Heavenly Father does not ask for golden vessels. He does not ask for silver vessels. God asks for yielded vessels. He just wants us to be yielded unto him and trusting in his goodness and his faithfulness. At the end of the day, was it a good day for Zechariah and Elizabeth? It was a great day. At the end of the day, was it a good day for Mary? Even with all that she had to go through, saying that Jesus was illegitimate, all the ridicule, all the looks, was it worth it? I think so. I think so. Isn't that interesting? That being yielded to yes sometimes will take you to places you probably never thought you would be, and it might take you into relational encounters that are really, really hard or difficult. And yet his goodness and faithfulness through Mary is life for you and me, right? Her yieldedness afforded us something in this room. We sang a lot about grace today. Her yieldedness afforded us a lot of grace. God's looking for yielded vessels. The next slide is another picture, right? The potter's hand, right? Is that your life? Are you the rebellious pot? Don't touch me. Don't touch me in that way. I don't want to be touched like that, right? Are you yielded? Trusting he's good. He's not abusive. He doesn't do things to you that are wrong. He's a loving father, and he's creating a masterpiece, and you're the masterpiece. And you being a masterpiece doesn't take anything away from the person sitting next to you being a masterpiece. He's got a whole gallery of masterpieces, and you're included in that. The next one, we talk about a vessel as a ship, right? Often it's been spoken over grace fellowship, right, that we're a ship. And that we're an aircraft carrier. That's not an aircraft carrier. But like, are you yielded to where the fleet commander sends you? Are you willing to go on the mission that he calls you to go? Even when it doesn't make sense, right? Even when it doesn't seem obvious why we're doing it, why he would send us there. Are you yielded? The last one, I think it's the last one, is just a pure worship, right? Are you yielded before the Lord? Where that's all that matters. I just have to have more of Jesus. Just give me more of his presence. Are you yielded in that way? Or do the cares of this world and the things of life that you have other pleasures and appetites, right? I want this and I want Jesus. I want this and some of Jesus. No, where are you today? Is he enough? No one can answer these questions but you. I think we can learn from Mary this one thing. It seemed like her answer before the encounter was already yes. That her yieldedness before the Lord was a yes, and that she was ready for any encounter that she was going to have. And I think that God wants us today to be in a similar spot. Are you in a place of yes? Without reservation. Without stipulations. Right? He's looking for yielded vessels. Then no matter when or how he comes, if you already have a yes, you're ready. But if you're not yielded in that way, then when he comes and how he comes, you're not going to be ready. I'm not going to be ready, right? The good news about Zechariah is that God still answers his prayer even when he wasn't ready. See what I mean? He's a good God. I think we'll close with this, is that if you want to be yielded unto him, as you listen to the words that come out of my mouth, in a greater way than what you currently are, or you feel like I am yielded unto him, just stand and we'll pray. Again, God doesn't want to put something on you you don't want. Does that make sense? And so there's nobody's looking at who's standing or not standing, but I feel like it takes an action. Often our yes requires an action. It takes a level of risk. And so if you really want to be yielded, as you stand, you're saying, I am. I want to be seen. I'm saying yes to this. I don't know what it's going to mean or what it's going to look like. Maybe my Thanksgiving plans are going to be different this year. Like maybe everything that the traditions of man, it's going to get thrown out because I'm going to be going to another country because he comes to me. You see what I'm saying? This is a dangerous standing. Right? So I don't make light of it, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. I think the reality is both Zechariah and Mary had no clue what it was going to be like when Gabriel showed up. I don't know what it's going to be like as you yield yourself unto the Lord, but I do know God is always good and he's always faithful. And so whatever that takes you, whatever that looks like, it's going to be good. It may be a hard road, but it's going to be good. Make sense? So with that, you guys can stand if you want to. And I'm going to close in prayer, or pray, and then I'm going to give it back to Pastor Luke. So Jesus, I celebrate what you're doing. And what you're doing in these sons and daughters today here at this Grace Fellowship here at 6th Street Playhouse in Santa Rosa. Because you're right here with us. And you see the ones who are standing. My eyes are closed. I don't want to see. But you see who's standing in this room, who's saying, I'm either yielded already, my answer is yes, or I want to be. I want to grow in my yieldedness. I want life to be different in the sense that I'm committed to you. Wherever you say, whatever you call me to, wherever you say go, whoever you call me to love, whatever you're going to answer the prayer that I thought it was going to look this way, and now everything's radically different in my life, I'm yielded to you. I want to be yielded to you. I want to be that pot, that clay in your hands. I want to be the ship that you send overseas. I want to be the person who just needs more of Jesus. And so, Lord, would you hear our hearts cry today? And then we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work that only you can do in us. That you would move powerfully in our lives today. And that you would lead us through what does it look like to walk a life, to live a life that's completely yielded unto you. And that we would give you glory. And we would partner with you to advance your kingdom in this land and to many nations because of what you're doing and what you say and our yieldedness unto you. That lives would be transformed and captives would be set free, that the lost would come home, and ultimately, Jesus, that you would be glorified. And we ask that you would bless this sacred gathering this morning and bless these precious ones today that are standing for you. And then for those who are not standing, I pray that they would know the fullness of your love as well. They can't mess up. And so I just celebrate anyone who's not standing, who's not ready to be yielded. Lord, I pray you'd radically bless them. You'd radically pour out your favor. You'd radically pour out your abundance, your goodness and your faithfulness. It still will touch, right? Because your love is always on. Your delight's always on. And so I pray that everybody in the room would encounter right now just a greater measure of your love. We're not loved more because we're yielded, and we're not loved less because we're not. Does that make sense? And so, Jesus, would you get that through our thick skulls once and for all? That we say yes to being yielded because we know it's the best thing for us and for our families and for the future of everyone we encounter. Not to win brownie points with you. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, would you seal what you're doing here today? And would it be for your glory, Jesus? And we ask it all in your precious name.
Amen.